You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to, turn to 2 Corinthians. Just have fireside chat tonight with no fire. Holy Ghost fire. 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter. Just turn there. I'm going to quote some other scriptures and make some comments and talk a little bit about change and growth and progress and things like that. You know, the word change can go two different ways. You can change. Everybody says, well, change is good. Change is good. Change can be good, but change is not always good. If you're a good person and you turn bad, that's change, but that's change for the worse. Are you with me? And so, you know, if you had all your bills paid and had a lot of money and then you lost everything, that's change, but that's bad change. You know, so we have the idea that we just need a change. I just need a change. We often hear that a lot. We say that a lot. We think that's the case, that we need to change. But we need to progress. That's what we need to do. We need to grow. We need to mature. We don't want to change just to change, because change can have a negative sense. In fact, if you write notes, you don't have to turn to these scriptures, but the Bible tells us, you know, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or changing, and the things which are unseen are eternal, concrete and solid. So in that sense, he's saying the changing things are bad, the unchanging things are good. And God says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Well, God doesn't change. He doesn't change who he is, his character, his nature. He's always changing how he deals with us because we're so squirrely, you know. I mean, he has to. He's got to have a million plans to work with us because we never hang with one of them very long at all. If that's all right, he's got B and C and D and, you know, we'll go to the next plan. But he'll make it work. But he doesn't change. Are you with you getting that? I mean, yeah, he's got to change working with us because we're zigging and zagging, you know. Like a rabbit in the field. So but he'll get over it. He'll help us, and he'll go this way. You go this way, God will help you. He'll work with you, you know. Your life's not over because you took the wrong road in life or because you messed this up or messed that up. Thank God. God's bigger than all that, you know. So if it weren't that way, stick the fork in. We're all done. But God's changing with us in that sense, but he himself never changes. He's always good. And he always loves us. He's the Lord God. He changes not. So in that sense, that'd be a bad deal for God to change. You wouldn't want to wake up tomorrow and find out God's different than he was today. That would be a negative change in that sense. And Proverbs 24:21 tells us also, if you write notes, it says, fear of the Lord and the king and meddle not with them that are given to change. So you don't want to hang around somebody that's constantly changing all the time. In the sense that they believe one thing one day and another thing the next day. And the context of that scripture is really a change of allegiance. You know, one guy's, he's got behind this cause this day, and now he's against that cause the next day. Or he's behind this person, loyal and faithful, and the next thing I know, he's not faithful and loyal to them at all. He's following somebody else. People that are given to change of allegiance or change of loyalties. Are you with me? So that's a bad thing. But change, having said that, I want to talk about good change. Change can be good. If you're changing for the better. And if anything you and I need to realize in life and need to admit in life and come to grips with is that we do need to change. Because we're not perfect in the natural. My faith's not where it needs to be. Are you with me? Oh, I got faith and I'm believing God, but it can be stronger. And it can develop. And I want it to develop and I want it to be stronger. So I'm going to have to change in a positive way. And progress in that sense, and mature in that sense. And to do that, I'm going to have to change my level of thinking. You're not going to solve the problems that you created in your life with the same level of thinking that you created them. You're going to have to change your thinking because the same level of thinking that created your problems has got to turn around or you're going to continue to have the same thing. Amen? That's what renewing your mind with the Word of God is about. In fact, if you get into Romans 12:3, where it says, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed. That word metamorpho, transformed, that's change. That's the same word where Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible says he was transfigured among them. He was changed in front of them. He glistened like the sun, brightness of the sun. That transfiguring was a changing, a good change. And that's what the Word will do for you. It'll make good changes in your life. It'll bring progress or synthetic growth. It'll add to you all the good in you. We don't need to stop doing the good we're doing. We just need to add to that good. We don't need to stop believing God. We just need to believe Him stronger. You know, a tree grows by adding. It doesn't grow by just ceasing to be what it is. You know, some people you talk to, man, you don't. They're just all over the map. You never know what they're believing or what. I know ministers that way. They just complete. Don't even believe what they believe a year ago or 10 years ago. Just changing all the time. Just changing. I'm just changing. And they call that growth, but that's not growth, and that's not progress. A lot of times we'll say something's progressive just because it's different. But if you say you're progressive, then you must have a goal you're trying to progress to. Isn't that right? And many times those people can't even define what they're trying to do or where they're trying to get to. It's just because it's different, it's progressive. Oh, well, that's bold, that's courageous, that's progressive. Well, we need to think about this. We need, first of all, examine our lives and examine what it is that we're progressing into. I think it's G.K. Chesterton said, progress is no more than a comparative, which we have not defined the superlative. What he was saying was, compared to other things, we're changing, we call it progress, but we really don't have an end in mind. You ever hear talk about politically, you hear about progressives. I always shy away from that when I hear that, because that usually means something bad. That means they want to change everything that we are, change the country that we live in. Are you with me? They're progressive. This church is a progressive church. You'll hear that sometimes in churches. That means they don't want to preach what we've been preaching. They're not adding growth or synthetically getting more mature. They're getting rid of all the good and starting something brand new. We can't do that. We've got some unchanging truths and unchanging principles. Are you with me? We may change in the way we present them. We may change in the way we reach out to the world. We may change in the way we package it. But what's in the package can't change. The gospel can't change. We have churches that don't talk about the Holy Ghost. They don't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They don't have baptism in the Holy Ghost. They don't have tongues, you know. And they think that's more progressive. Well, we'll reach more people if we don't do that, because that might offend some people. But the problem with that is baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, is Bible. It's the truth. It's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news. It's what Paul did and Peter did and Philip did. It's what everybody in the New Testament, the book of Acts, did when they went around. They got them saved and they got them full of the Holy Ghost. And then Paul wrote chapters on how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, you don't want to rule that out. That's not progressive to stop that. That would be a digression. That's not progressive. That's digression. Are you with me? Okay, so 2 Corinthians 3, give you plenty of time to get there. In the 12th verse, he's talking about this new covenant, this new hope we have. See, there was a change that took place in the new covenant. But it was a fulfillment of what had been said in the old covenant. It was a completion, a maturity that took place. All that was required in the old was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a good change. I hope we're changing for the good. But you better bear in mind, just because you're moving doesn't mean you're moving in the right direction. C.S. Lewis said, we all want progress, but if you're on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn. It means repenting. Are you with me? Turning around and walking back to the right road. Hey, I totally turned around when I got saved because I was going the wrong direction. Hallelujah. So change in that respect was about face. In that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive if you're on the wrong road. Okay, 12th verse, 3rd chapter, 2 Corinthians. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I like that. Boldness of speech, plainness of speech. You know, we don't want to complicate the gospel. Make it simple. Come on. I think about just witnessing your faith, sharing your faith with people. Best way I know how to share your faith is just tell what Jesus did for you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know all those big words, you know, and all the different doctrines of the Bible. You should study. We should get in the Word and find out all we can. But nobody can tell it like you tell it. Nobody can tell what God did for you better than you can. Amen. And simply, praise God, He came into your life. He washed your sins away. He made you a new creature. So witnessing is real easy. It's not complicated. We use plainness of speech when we talk about it. Jesus was notorious for using parables, just simple things, and making illustrations. Sowers and seeds, are you with me? I mean, he was always using simple little truths. So we have this great hope, and we want to use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, he goes on to say, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is to be abolished. I'm going to get this out. Yeah, y'all are praying for me that I'm strengthened in Jesus' name. Moses, you know, he came off the Mount of on the Holy Mount, not Mount Transfiguration. He spent 40 days with God in the presence of God, and he actually saw God pass by as he was in the cleft of the rock. When he came off that mountain, he had such an anointing on him and such a presence on him that he glistened. They couldn't even look on his face. It shined so much. So he put a veil over his face so they couldn't look at that kind of glory, at that kind of power, at God manifested, as it were. So God, Moses had toned God down. He had toned the God on him down. They could not look steadfastly on his face, but he put a veil over his face. And what's fascinating about this, as glorious as that was, as awesome as that was the old covenant which was going to be abolished and had an end. We've got something greater than that. Even him shining like that, that was still a temporary thing. And it says, not as Moses, we don't hide this. We're not trying to tone this down. God forbid I tone down the gospel or water down the gospel. Hello. Or take out parts of it. You know, I just mentioned that a while ago. Baptism, Holy Ghost, gifts of the Spirit. Well, we want to make it a little, you know, we want to hide that part that might offend. Oh, no, we take the veils off. This is not old covenant. This is new covenant. We want to make it plain. Put it out there for everybody. We don't want to tone it down, water it down. And we don't do as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Man, that's so good. If you want to understand the Bible, then get to Jesus. Jesus takes the veil away. If you look at the Scripture through Jesus, you'll begin to understand the Scripture. It'll take away the confusion. It'll take away the darkness. It'll take away the ignorance, as it were. I mean, looking through Jesus takes the veil away. Their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Wow. So this thing's a revelation. And then what he's saying? The Bible's not just intellectually understood. You can't get smart enough to figure it out. You have to open your heart up and let God speak to your heart. That's what he's saying. Yeah, I think of when the two disciples that Jesus appeared to on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. You remember that? He spoke to them and he said, well, y'all look so sad. What's going on? They said, well, haven't you heard, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, he died. We thought he was going to restore the kingdom. And he says, oh, slow of heart and blindness not to see what the Scripture says. And it says he preached to them the Psalms, the prophets, the law, how Jesus was supposed to die and rise again. They got to a house and they said, come on in here and eat with us. They still didn't know it was Jesus. He withheld himself from them. And the Bible says they went in there and sat down to eat. And as they sat down to eat, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he disappeared in front of them and their eyes were opened. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke? I like that. See, that's not the head, that's the heart, isn't it? And so the problem is the heart. You get the heart right, the head will straighten up. Amen. So it says, but their minds are blinded, for unto this day the remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Hallelujah. Woo. But even unto this day when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. It's on their heart. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Wow. You want to know more about the Bible? Turn to Jesus. Just get right with God. The Bible will start coming alive. You know, start making those changes, good, positive changes in your heart. Fall in love with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Those are positive changes. Those are good changes That'll bring progress and growth. That has an end in mind, which that's real progress always has an end in mind. And it's to make us better, to be better witnesses, to be better examples, and so on and so forth. And it starts with the heart. Real change in God starts with the heart. Amen? Positive change starts with the heart. We try to change everything outside. We try to change the environment. We try to change the way we look, the clothes we wear, makeup, and all those things. And those are good things. But see, if we don't change the heart, then we're never going to really grow, never really progress. The greatest changes are the changes of heart. The greatest changes are, thank God for miracles. I thank God for miraculous healings, miracles, and we've heard some today, and I think they're wonderful. We want more of them. But I think sometimes we make so much of that we don't make much of a change of character. When someone is wicked and evil and gets saved and turns their heart around, that's the greatest miracle. When you overcome some anger in your life and you start being a little more kind and loving, that's good change. You mean? That's character as opposed to just charisma. We often make much of the outside, but God makes more of the heart, the inside. And that'll cause more growth outside. You know, we're wanting to understand more. Well, get your heart right, you'll understand more. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things be added to you. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in his sight, and obey these commandments which I command you this day, these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Yeah. You know, put that heart, get that heart right and everything else. I wish above all things, or pray above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Those are the big changes. Those are the important changes that you and I need to spend time, our heart. Get our heart right. Out of it are the issues of life, the Bible says. So it says here, nevertheless, when it, 16th verse, it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Wow. Well, if I could just get smart enough. No, if you just get your heart right enough. Amen. You start loving people. Quit being so mean. You know, repent. Overcome some of that anger and that bitterness and that selfishness and all those. Make that change. That's a good change there. That's the kind of change we want. That's a progressive change. And what that will do is open up the Word to you. And also, as we go along here, it says, nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, the veil that blinds, the veil that keeps us from understanding God. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We often talk about that in a Holy Ghost service. You know, we'll talk about when people got wild or fell out or ran around the building, you know, and hey, that's great. I thank God for moving the Spirit. Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. But the context of this is the Spirit is here to reveal himself to us, to reveal the Word to us. There's liberty to understand. Not he wasn't talking about a wild service, which those things happen, and we're for that, and that's good. But the context of this is, praise God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to understand. The veil is taken away. Now I'm starting to see God. I understand what this is about. I'm free to get it now. Whereas before I was bound, I couldn't get it. But now that I turn my heart to God, the veil is taken away, and I start seeing that go, yes, I see that. I understand that now. It's a liberty to understand. It's a liberty to have revelation flowing in your life about who God is and what you need to do in your life and so on. And he goes on and says, and we all with open face beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image. That's good change. Change into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Now, every one of us need to change in that sense. None of us need to change our faith in Christ. We still believe in Christ. That's a given. Don't change that. We're going to add to that, okay? We're going to move forward with that. We're not going to do away with that. None of us need to negate or stop flowing in the Spirit or believing, you know, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, we need that. We've got to have that, but we're going to go forward with that. Are you with me? This synthetic growth, we add to it. We don't take away. We're adding to. We're progressing toward what? Well, toward Jesus. We're progressing toward the image of Christ, to be like him, to be loving like he is, to be forgiving like he is, to move in the gifts and flow and pray for people like he did. All that's part of it. We want to change, but we're not going to do that until we get our heart right. Yeah. and we start looking in the mirror. You know, you ladies get up and you look in that mirror and spend a lot of time in front of that mirror. That's good. I'm not against that. I think that's wonderful. But you make adjustments. You straighten up hair. Brenda fixes my hair. She doesn't let me leave the house with that. Whip, you got to fix your hair. Go up, got to work on that hair. You know, I got to do something to back your head. That doesn't look right at all. You know, and here I go. I'm just standing there like a puppy, you know. Okay, turn around, you know, and she sprays it and she moves. Yeah, turn back around. So I turn back around. I don't complain. I just do whatever she says to do. Hello. She sees what I don't see. She sees the back of my head. I can't see it. But we'll look in the mirror and we just sit there and we look at it. We make adjustments, you know. We go, I got to fix that. And, you know, and ladies, you know, you put makeup here and there and cover this up and cover that up, you know, whatever you do. And you don't argue with the mirror. I mean, I don't know if anybody gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror and says, no way. Uh-uh. I'm not buying that. No, that's a lie. Yeah. Guys probably do. Yeah. Yeah, guys do it. But, I mean, women don't sit there, no, I don't look like that. No, you go, what? The mirror doesn't lie. So you start changing, don't you? I mean, you have faith in the mirror. Come on, people got more faith in the mirror than they do the Word of God. I mean, they'll spend hours in front of a mirror trying to get things right, adjusted, changed. And they'll pay the price, and they'll discipline, spend time doing it. I mean, sometimes women, I don't know how they spend so much time from there, but they look good when they're through, so I'm not complaining. But why don't we do that with the Bible? Why don't we look in the Bible and go, you know what? Wow. Oh, that's out of place. No, I got to change that. I'm looking. Look in the perfect law of liberty. Behold your face in the mirror and see the glory of God. And start making these adjustments and start changing this, and you'll be changed into this same image. Oh, hallelujah. And don't argue with it, because it's not lying to you. It's telling you the truth, just trying to help you, that's all. The Bible's a help, just like a mirror's a help. And it's there to help you adjust and look good. And if you don't make the changes, if you don't get the dirt off, if you don't fix the hair that the mirror shows you, you're just not going to look as good as you can. And God wants, He wants you to look as good as you can. He is just trying to help you. Well, I don't want to forgive. I don't think I need to do that. Well, yeah, you do, because you don't look too good when you're bitter like that. You don't look good at all. Hello. See, that's good change. That's a progressive change. That's a progress has an end in mind. That's a goal, a standard. We have someone that we're looking to. We want to be like. And we can gauge our progress. Hey, we may not be where we should be, but we're a whole lot better off than we were last year. Are you with me? We're closer than we were 10 years ago. We've got a superlative. We've got an end in mind. We've got someone we're looking to. Hallelujah. This is who we're going to be like. And I'm changing into that same image. Holding on to all the good I got, but I'm weeding out the bad and adjusting and shaking off the bad and making those little, you know, fixing that hair and putting that makeup, doing all those things. I'm being transformed. Romans 12:3. Turn there. 12:2. This is good change. This is change in the right direction. You know, G.K. Chesterton, I quoted him, he also said that progress should mean that we are always changing the world to fit the vision. Most of the time, people just always changing the vision. I think we see that, and we're living in times where people want to change the vision of America. They want to change the goals that we set when we formed this nation. They don't want to change just, you know, the things we're doing. They want to change the whole vision. It's like an artist, you know, that has an easel here, and he's painting an apple over here. And he gets through, and his painting doesn't look anything like an apple. It looks more like an orange than an apple. Instead of throwing the painting away and starting over again, he goes over and moves the apple and puts an orange up there. Hello. So we get the idea, well, we can't forgive, we can't love, we can't live holy, so let's quit making that our standard. Let's just make living unholy part of the vision. Oh, come on. And see, we're changing the vision. We're changing the goal. That's bad change. That's not good change. You know, the goal's right. The vision's right. We're the ones that need to change. But we get to going, oh, that's not right. You know, we shouldn't be telling people they need to change the way they live. We shouldn't need to tell people they don't need to live, that they should live holy. Let's just quit telling them that. And then call it progressive. We're a progressive church. We allow this sin and that sin. In fact, we don't even call it sin. It's not sin anymore. It's just okay. Just live any way you want to. God still loves you. Well, we've changed the message then, hadn't we? We've changed the goal. We've changed the vision. That's not progressive. That's going in the wrong direction. That's not good change. We got to go back and look in the mirror. The mirror doesn't lie. The mirror's trying to help us. It's a tool. That's why we have mirrors. Well, we want to break the mirror, and we want to reform it somehow, make it not show up our faults. You can blur the mirror. You can put dirt on it, and it'll wipe. You won't see near as much wrong with you. Are you out there? But that's not what we need to do. Amen? Okay. Romans 12:2. Y'all found it? Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Everybody say transformed. That word transforms, metamorpho in the Greek, we get like plastic, you know, formed, I can't think of the right word. My mind is alert. I have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. But it's to be changed, formed, molded like plastic, be like that. Like Jesus was transfigured. That's the same word. He was changed with brightness and glory, and he glistened, you know. There was a change that took place. And it says here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. God not only doesn't want us to be like the world, to be conformed to the world, but he wants to change us into the image of Christ, which we just read there in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He wants to change us into the image of Christ. This is good change. Ooh, hallelujah. And you and I need to change. Incrementally, little by little, it's not going to happen overnight. I think great successes and great victories are no more than just a accumulation of small successes and small victories extended over a long period of time. You have to be patient. Little by little, you chisel away at these things. Like that sculpture had that big block of granite, and this little boy walked up and says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm chiseling out a horse." Little boy said, "That doesn't look anything like a horse at all. It looks like a big old block of granite. How are you ever going to make a horse out of that?" He said, "Son, that's real easy. All I got to do is just chisel away everything that doesn't look like a horse. And when I get through, I got a horse." Well, how are you ever going to be like Jesus? Maybe you don't look a whole lot like him right now. Well, I can tell you how you do it. It may take a little time, but step by step, chisel by chisel, if you'll just chisel away everything that doesn't look like Jesus, then you'll start looking more like him every day. Amen. And how do you do that? You catch the vision. You get a clear picture of what you're trying to be. You shine some light on the apple that you're painting. You spend time looking at it in great detail. You look at the shadows. You look at the light. You focus on it. Eyes are constantly on it. So that when you paint this picture, that it looks just like it. Because you know it. You understand it. You're seeing it in all the little nuances and hues of color and so on. If we'll spend time looking in the Word, if we'll stay in the Word, if we'll renew our mind, if we'll get this clear picture in front of us of what we should be and how we should live, then little by little we will be changed. And if we'll behold and look into this perfect law of liberty by the Spirit of the Lord, we'll be changed into that same image. From glory to glory. Woo! Hallelujah. But you're never going to change if you're not willing to change. If you think you're okay, this message is not for you. Amen? I'm talking about being born again. I know we're saved, going to heaven. But if you think there's no way you can ever get any better, I can't help you. And God can't either, really. But he can help you if you're willing to admit, I can do better. Amen? And I can change. And that's the kind of change that's called progress. That's the kind of change that has a goal in mind. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus. Oh, just to be like him.